Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Happy Sunday morning to you, church. This is the day the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am rejoicing because it is good to be with you in worship online this day. I'm Lindsay Hall. I'm one of the clergy that's appointed to serve at this congregation of First United Methodist Church in Brighton and Whitmore Lake. We are a church that seeks to know God and love God and serve God, and so we are doing that this morning by praising God, by hearing scripture, by sharing of our tithes and offerings. Oh, it is wonderful, wonderful to be with you in worship this day. I hope you'll take a moment now to share this worship video so that way your friends and neighbors and coworkers and colleagues might find a spiritual home if they're looking for a church community. We would love for them to be a part of it. Please share this video on social media. I'd also encourage you to check in. Let us know you are here by filling out our connection card online, visiting our church website at www.brightonfumc.org. And you can fill it out by visiting our worship page and clicking on our connection card. Oh goodness, it's so good to be in worship. So now let's turn our hearts to a time of praise. Let's lift our voices and sing. And even if you're worshiping from home or in your car or at your workplace, I'd encourage you to lift your voice in praise to God. Let's praise God, for God is worthy to be praised. Amen.
Save me, mercy made me whole. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord Jesus, we are grateful that you have walked our earth and shown us what God is like. Show us how to walk in your way, loving the sinner, the outcast, and the poor. Guide us towards opportunities to bring our faith to life by being your hands and feet in our world. Help us to see others how you would see them, through the lens of love. In your name we pray. Amen. Today's scripture comes from John 4, 1 through 30 and 39 through 42. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw the water. Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband and come back. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You are right in saying, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, What do you want? Or, Why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who calls us to include everyone in the family of God. Amen. Well, let me try to set the stage for this particular story that we read today. If you are a student of history, you know that the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along so well. In fact, for the most part, their communities barely ever intersected. Samaritans believed that they were the orthodox keepers of the truth, and Jews believed that they were, and they seldom got along, and most of the communities found themselves separate or on the opposite sides of the community. This particular story opens with Jesus being present at a well, knowing that there's a Samaritan woman coming to draw water from the well midday. It's been said that she came and collected her water at that particular time. So there Jesus is waiting for her to arrive. One of the fascinating things to me about Jesus is it seems like he always goes out and searches for people who have been ostracized by their community, whether they were demon-possessed, infirmed, sick, outcasted. He always found a way to make sure that he engaged those folks in the communities that he visited. I think that says something about the character of God, that nobody in all of creation should be left out from this incredible good news that is found in Jesus Christ. I think we could all tear a page from that. Admittedly, the church has sometimes been too good at excluding particular groups of people or not welcoming them in with a full embrace. The Samaritan woman must have felt that way in her community. After all, she was drawing her water in the midday sun, which was not customary in the time. Perhaps one way of reading into that is the fact that she had been ostracized, cast out from the typical patterns of the community. Why, you might ask? Well, the scripture tells us that she had been married 5 times and that she was now living with a 6th partner. And that day, that was unquestionably outside the bounds of social norm. And so this woman who had been married and divorced five times and was now living with a sixth person happens upon Jesus and sees him, and he asks her for a cup of water. I can assure you that in the first century, this would have been scandalous. It would have drawn the crowds. Who is Jesus talking to this woman who is unclean or impure or has been with five different men? But that's what Jesus was about. That's what Jesus did over and over and over again, seeking out people that the rest of the community would cast aside. And so Jesus names to her her past, but not in a condescending or judgmental way. He simply says, yes, I know who you are, and I'm asking you for a cup of water. It was one way of building a bridge, building a relationship, helping to restore her dignity, helping to restore her sense of humanity. Yes, the Messiah was talking to her. I don't know if you know somebody in your life or if this is you yourself, but there are some of us who carry around a tremendous amount of personal baggage. Some of us struggle to feel worthy that we ourselves could receive divine grace, that we ourselves could be the benefactors of Jesus's love, that we ourselves could be accepted into the body of Christ because of things that we've done over the course of our life. But that's the beauty of this story of this Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus entered into relationship with her, welcomed her in, restored simply by acknowledging her humanity and asking her for a cup of water. In that moment, all of the baggage, all of the stuff that she was carrying around was lifted, and she went back into her Samaritan community, and the scripture tells us that she shared her faith with multiple other people who became followers of Jesus Christ. I guess one of the things that this story tells me is it doesn't take much, does it, to restore somebody's dignity? At the same time, it doesn't take much to do harm. Sometimes by excluding somebody in our social circles and not acknowledging them and degrading them and telling them that they're somehow beneath us is enough to cause somebody to change their social patterns, to feel that they are unworthy to experience God's love and divine grace. Frankly, we've got a lot of work to do. I just was informed of this story of a student in the Heartland School District who wrote something on social media saying that over the course of 3 months, she had repeatedly been called the N-word while going to school in front of students and faculty and staff of the school district. Now, certainly we'll have to see how those allegations play themselves out, but I imagine her feeling ostracized, feeling judged by her peers, feeling bullied. One doesn't have to be called the N-word to experience bullying in our schools today. We know that in certain environments, in certain classrooms, some students get far more than their fair share of being bullied. Nobody should ever have to endure that. Nobody should ever have to feel ostracized or put out by a social community. And if you're one of those students, if you're one of those kids, or if you're a parent of a child who has been on the difficult end of being bullied on the playground or in the classroom, on the school bus, I'm here to say that our church is a safe place for you and your family. That we are a place where it doesn't matter what your story is or where you've been or what you've done, you're welcome in this community. That's something that has always made me proud of being a United Methodist. We are a place that serves up grace first. Our whole doctrine is based on this understanding that we are all God's children. It doesn't matter whether you're a Samaritan or an observant Christian or Jewish. It doesn't matter. You are all welcome to be a part of the family of God. We're all children of God covered by divine grace of our Creator. And that's what makes this story of the Samaritan woman so beautiful for me, that immediately Jesus welcomes her and acknowledges her and restores her dignity so that she can feel a part once again of the fabric of society. We've got mission projects all around the world that this church sponsors and sends volunteers to that does the exact same thing. I've been a part of dedications for Habitat for Humanity when you're standing there with a homeowner looking at the keys to their home for the very first time. I've heard people give testimonies and stories about how so many doors in their life have been closed and locked on them, but when they get their first set of keys to a property that they will someday own, they suddenly feel like God's promise has been made real for them, that they are a part of this new club, this new organization of home ownership. It's amazing how that simple act of building somebody's home so that they can have shelter and a place to store their belongings can go so far to building up somebody's dignity. And that's why we're sponsoring, in part with other churches in our area, a Habitat for Humanity home. It's because it's those simple acts that give people a sense of pride and dignity and help them acknowledge and see God's love in their life. I don't know all of the details about the student in Heartland who had the courage to come forward to confront an entire school district, a system where it was okay for her to be bullied in the midst of the school system. But I'm here to say, with all of my heart, and I believe this to be true, that regardless of who you are, what you've done, or what you've been a part of, you are welcome in this church. I think there's another thing about this story. We talk about living water, about how water gives life. And I have to say, one of the things that's broken my heart, and we talked about this in the fall, is that in our world today, over 1 billion people still have no access to clean and safe drinking water. It's 2021, and throughout this entire last year, we've been encouraged to wash our hands over and over and over again to stop the spread of disease. But for some people, there is no water. Jesus, who came to us and said, "I am the source of living water," 2,000 years ago, and some people are still waiting for that safe place to drink. Samaritan woman said that she didn't feel worthy to offer a cup of water to Jesus. I think part of what Jesus' teachings, when he talks about it in Matthew 25, "When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink." I think part of our call as faithful people and disciples of Jesus Christ is to give people something to drink when they're thirsty as well. It's part of how we act justly in our world today. This is a beautiful story about reconciliation and of hope and restoration of broken relationships and helping somebody feel dignity when their dignity had been taken away from them. And I just want to take a moment for us to pause and think about the Samaritan women in our lives. Some of us can name the folks easily who might feel marginalized and oppressed. Others of us might have to work at it a bit. But I'm here to say that as I read the Gospels over and over and over again, Jesus comes to heal the sick, to visit and give good news to the poor, to set captives free, to preach recovery of sight to the blind, to release people who are demon-possessed. Jesus goes out of God's way to meet marginalized people exactly where they're at, to have their full humanity and dignity restored. Can you think of some folks in our community or around the world who need to have their dignity restored? Who need to know that because we are all children of God, we all have an equal place around God's heavenly banquet? That in God's kingdom, nobody is above or below anybody else. Is there anybody in your life that you can reach out to and simply extend some form of grace and good news to them. Because the scripture that we read today says that because Jesus did this, because Jesus got down on the level of the Samaritan woman and looked at her in the face and restored her dignity and asked her for a cup of water, she went back to her community and shared this incredible news with all of these other people around. And because of that, they came to faith in Jesus Christ. Is there anybody in our community who needs to hear that good news that Jesus is kneeling and sitting by their side? Is there anybody whose dignity needs to be restored and healed? My encouragement to all of us is to find those people in our community, to reach out to them, to say that you're on their side, to say that the church stands with them, to say that the church does not exclude them, to say that the church is open for them. Because we are. This is a place for all of God's people. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Suzanne Everett. I'm happy to share a prayer with you this morning. Will you pray with me? God of new beginnings. Every spring I am renewed with hope and awe at the wonder of your creation. The miracle of trees and plants that awaken from a winter sleep. The return of birds and bird song. The scamper of squirrels. This year there is a special feeling of optimism and rebirth as we gratefully grab hold of hope as more and more people are vaccinated. Thank you, Lord, for scientists and people who are committed to saving lives. Thank you, Lord, for helping people piece together the mysteries of your creation through discoveries that have helped make these vaccines possible in record time. When the sun shines bright, we turn toward your love. And when the clouds shadow your light, remind us that you are always with us. This pandemic has brought a whole host of situations that most of us would not have even imagined a year ago. We mourn the loss of more than 2.6 million people worldwide to COVID-19. We mourn the instability in our economy and in our communities. We grieve for the children whose education and lives have been disrupted, for those who have been isolated and separated from their loved ones. We lament all that we have lost in the last year. Lord, you have taught us that we can pour out our laments and you will hear us. We can share our despair and you will carry our burdens. So as we mark the anniversary of this pandemic, hear our grief and sorrow and return it with hope and courage. Bear our regret and disappointment and return it with hope and transformation. Thank you, loving God, for never leaving us. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us how to be a friend to those who need a friend the most. When we have trouble seeing others with your eyes, Lord, please help us to love with your heart. We pray this for ourselves and our community, for our country in need of physical healing and spiritual healing. Lord, hear our prayer. Free us from the forces of wickedness that separate us from you. May we always have the courage to repent and follow you. As your chosen disciples, let us repeat together with one voice the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
God calls us to share what we have. And God uses those simple gifts to bring abundant blessings to this world. So I'd invite you to share your tithes and your offerings this morning to the glory of God. I would invite you to be a part of the mission and the great ministry of Jesus Christ, to be a part of transforming the world and impacting lives through First United Methodist Church in Brighton and Whitmore Lake. You can give online, you can bring your offering in during the weekday, you can mail in your check, however you give. We give you thanks for your offering, for it may continue the ministry and mission of Jesus Christ and glorify God, bring the gospel, and share God's love. Thank you for your generosity this day, church.
It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the old. patient believers, filled with God's hope and fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir. Praise is echo from the towers of cathedrals to the faithful gathered underground. Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none rings truer than this. It's all God's just heard, 'cause all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns.
Friends, thank you so much for joining us for worship this week. We hope that it was a blessing for you as we gather together online. I want to let you know about a couple of things going on here at the church, the first of which is we will be holding an Easter egg hunt on the 27th of March. We encourage you to visit our website and sign up if you plan to come with your family or your grandkids. We have taken extra safety precautions to make sure everybody is comfortable and safe here. We have packed over 2,500 eggs, so we are excited about folks coming to the church and participating in the Easter egg hunt. In addition to that, we will be holding services here for Palm Sunday of Holy Week. We'll be here at 9:30 and 11:30. The 11:30 service will be outside, and we'll be able to host up to 300 people outside, so we hope that you'll come for that. Later on in Holy Week, we'll have Monday, Thursday services at 7 p.m., both in person and online. A Good Friday service at 12 o'clock and 7 p.m. in person and online. And on Easter Sunday, we'll have a 7:15 service out in the Memorial Garden. And we'll also be holding a service at 9:30 here in the sanctuary at Brighton and in the sanctuary at Whitmore Lake. And we also will be having our online service at 9:30. And we will be having an 11:30 Easter service outside that we encourage you to come to, where again, we'll be able to welcome up to 300 people for that service. So we encourage you to come. We'll be outside, so it will be safe in the same area we had worship in this last summer, in the space between the sanctuary and the well. So we encourage you to come, and let us know that you plan to come by registering for those services online. And thank you so much for tuning in. As we depart from this place, I pray we would go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.
and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. We believe.
We believe in conquered death. Thank you.